Again, I'll say good afternoon to all the beloved saints. And the hymn that we have sang, "Guide Us, O Thou Gracious Savior, Pilgrims to this barren land. We are weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold us with Thy powerful hand." We are going to share with you the path. And I'm going to turn to some scriptures. The first is found in the book of Job. Job chapter 28. We are going to take out a verse from there. And reading verse 7. Job 28 and verse 7. Let's challenge ourselves with this. There is a path which no fowl know it, which the vulture's eyes have not seen, and the lion's whelp have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion pass by it. I am just going to take out that verse. And we are going to lay a nice foundation upon which we would build. As I travel around the community, I see all the homes that the Wons have built. And they have been standing up for a couple of years. So it meant the foundation was good. So what we want to do this afternoon is really lay a good foundation upon which we are going to make clear the path that God has given to His people. He says there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eyes have not seen. And you know how they, a vulture could see anything. It's a bird of prey. It eats anything upon the earth. And as it fly over the skies, its eyes are on anything that is dead. But there's a path that the vulture's eyes cannot see. The lion's whelp have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. That's the death himself. There's a path for the righteous. Brethren, I lived for years in the United States of America, New York City. And I'm sure you have heard a lot about New York City. But I've lived there. And I could assure you I lived a happy life in New York City. I was never mugged, as they use the term. I was never robbed. Why? There's a path. There's a path for the people of God. And it tells us in this chapter, there is a path also, there is a vein that men dig below the earth and search for the vein of silver, search for the vein of gold. And they will just follow that vein because it is very precious, and they're going to take those things that they have gathered under the earth and bring them to light. And some of us are wearing them. My wife put this on my finger. Where it came from? Under the earth. So there are some things that are brought to light. But there are also a path that God has set out for every Christian. And the devil, I'm telling you this, he cannot be on that path. If you are on that path, he cannot walk on it. It's the path of the righteous, as the brother prayed. We also will turn to this verse. We are going to build Psalm 16. Is one of the Psalms that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. It tells us in Psalm 16 in verse 1. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." This is the Lord Jesus prophetically speaking of him. But the verse is verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." That's first thing about the path, is to keep the Lord before you. It's to keep your eyes on the Lord. Remember, we had this, I think it was yesterday, yesterday, when the disciples were brought up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they entered into a cloud. They saw no man save Jesus only. Sad, many have lost the path, and many have passed by the byways and highways, because why? They have lost sight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But prophetically, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said, I've set the Lord always before me. And brethren, as we gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the things of earth is going to go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So he tells us, I've set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I would like to ask this question. Which one of you would like to have sad, dreary, and gloomy days? Raise your hands, please. Which one of you would like to hear doomsday criers and, you know, doom and gloom? Raise your hands. But I will surely ask, if you ask anyone, would you like to have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore? Oh, sure, each one of us can confess, I will like that portion. Well then, God has said, I've set a path, and this path is going to lead me to fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Where is that path? The vulture's eyes cannot see it, neither can the lion's whelp tread upon it, and the fierce lion cannot pass by it. It's the path of the righteous, beloved. I want that path, you know. Listen, I want to enjoy my Christian life. I don't want to be walking around thinking about I'm a Christian and all sad and weary and droopy. No, indeed, I want to enjoy the things that God has secured for me in Christ. And he says there's a path that God has placed us upon. And that path is going to bring us to Christ, who is, we are going to enjoy. He said, listen, there's a light. When we're on that path, and it is going to shine brighter and brighter until that perfect day. Then Jeremiah said, ask for the old paths. The right way. Some say we don't want that path. We just set it aside. But brethren, we want to set our eyes upon the path. Now, I'm going to draw an illustration. In the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the devil's job to get us off the path of faith. It's his job. One thing you cannot accuse him of not being on the job. Many of us, we have worked and we have slept on the job many times. Have slept on the job. But not the devil. He's always on the job. And his job is to get you off that path upon which God has said, I've set you upon this path. And if you continue on it, it is going to lead you indeed to joy and pleasures forevermore. He says, no, I don't want that for you. I want to derail your life. I want you like to be like in the days of the judges, when Deborah, when Barak was there, indeed, and the enemy, Sisera, ruled over the people of God for 20 years. And the people had to pass all by the byways on the hedges. They couldn't pass along the king's highway, the path of grace, until I, Deborah, rose. Indeed, she says, until I, Deborah, rose. And Barak was so scared. She said, didn't God tell you to go down and meet Sisera down at the brook? He said, except you go with me, I'm not going, you know. He was scared. But thank God for godly sisters with, colloquially speaking, backbone, who decided, listen, you got to go. He says, except you go with me, I'm not going. She says, okay, I'll go with you. And he went. She went along with Barak. And the victory was a grand victory. And you know, indeed, Sisera, he discomfited Jabin's army. And Sisera lightened off his, what he was riding upon, and started to run. And he came into jail again, panting, tired from running. And you know what he said? Give me some water to drink, please.
She says, I will give you water, I'll give you milk.
She gave him milk, and
she said, if anybody asks, I'm here. Tell them, no, I'm not here. She said, okay. And he tell him, oh, you want to lie down? Okay. And he lied down, and she put a carpet over him, and he slept.
She went and got a pin out of the tent and took a hammer, and she just searched and realized where he lay, and put the pin, this is Jabin, and put the pin up on right by his temple, and take a hammer, bang, nail him right to the ground. Right to the ground. You know why? He was keeping the people of God off the path. But I'm going to draw a good picture that we can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I like to present Christ, you see. Because when Christ is presented, you can get a good handle upon the path which you and I have to tread upon. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 50. And I'll be short, I'll bring it in very quickly. Chapter 50, and reading from verse 4. He says, the Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God had opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. One of the things that is brought before us here, for us to keep on the path, he says, God waketh me morning by morning. It said of the Lord Jesus Christ, he rise a great while before day. He entered into a solitary place and there prayed. You show me a praying Christian, and you are going to show me also a Christian who is going to hold to the path. You show me a prayerless Christian, and I'm telling you, sooner or later, you are going to be derailed. That the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus got instructions morning by morning. How are you going to get instructions today? As I sit with the Word of God, as I study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It is said of a man, indeed he held his Bible, and he, as he read it, Mr. F.W. Grant, he said when he was dying, and he says at the point, he occupied himself with the Word of God so much. And he says, how vast, how deep, and how little I have really laid hold upon it. At the age of an advanced age, he had. Brethren, we could read this every day. And every day is different. There's a freshness about God's Word. And here it is, it tells us he worked, he waked up morning after morning, he got instructions, but he was also a man of prayer. It says he opened his ear, and this also speaks of the body of the Lord Jesus. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I give my back to the smiters. The first thing the enemy wants to do, the enemy is going to use the smiters to get me off the track. You know what saints have been derailed because of? Other saints? You know what saints have been derailed because of something someone had said about you and you didn't like how it rubbed you? Indeed, because of something that was not pleasant? Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheek to them that pluck off his hair, and he hid not his face from shame and spitting. Beloved, you know what? Man, I would have said, imagine, I come in to die for these people, and they're treating me this way. No, it was a path. As a man, the Lord Jesus was on a path, and he decided nothing is going to deter me from this path that God has placed me upon. Verse 6, he gave his back to the smiters. Remember? The plow was plowed upon his back. They made long their furrows. Remember, they plucked off his beard. And he hid not his face from shame and spitting. And that continued. He says, in spite of the treatment,
I am going to stay on the path.
Verse 7, for the Lord will help me, therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. Now this word flint means denotes strength. It means determination. It means I am not going to let nothing deter me from following the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of what the enemy may throw, I'm going to keep, I've set the Lord always before me. I'll not be moved. If I take my eyes off of him, surely I'm going to be derailed. His eyes was on the Lord. I've set the Lord always before me. Remember when the Lord Jesus was hungry? They was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to him at that point. He was hungry. And he says, the devil in other words says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Since I know you are hungry, command these stones to be made bread. Yes, the Lord Jesus was God, but he faced the devil as a man. And the Lord Jesus in that hunger says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the book of Deuteronomy says, by this shall man live. The devil quoted scripture again. He took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, throw yourself down, for he's given his angels charge over thee, and he left out to keep thee in all thy ways. When that didn't work, the devil, he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the nice London. Oh, wonderful. Look at London. Oh, wonderful place. You would like to have England for yourself. You look at Buckingham Palace and Windsor Palace and all this glory. What are you? Take him over at the moment of time and probably show him all of America and all the wealth of Egypt and all these places. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. And the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. And the Lord Jesus kept on the path. Nothing will deter him, because the Lord Jesus was waiting for instructions from God the Father. And brethren, we don't want to deviate from the path. We want to listen to God's word in spite of whatever may come. Let us see it is God's word and steer on it. Yes, we may suffer. The godly, we are not only called to believe him. We are called to suffer for his name's sake also. When you think, brethren, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I, for brevity of time, I'm going to quote it, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. He tells us, seeing then we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, men and women who have proven that living by faith work. Men and women who have given their lives and stood up there and stand for Christ. Men like Enoch. Indeed, Enoch and Noah and Abraham and all the heroes of faith. But lately I saw in the newspaper the Hall of Shame. I heard about the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Heroes of Faith. But the fact is, the point we are bringing here, the scripture says, for let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience this race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus. Oh yes, not Abraham was a failure. Moses a failure. Indeed, Joseph a failure. All these men were failures, but there's no failure in Christ. That's why I'm not going to follow no brother or sister whose breath is in their nostrils. I'm going to keep my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he's now seated down at the majesty on high. Brethren, indeed, if the Lord Jesus, he despised the shame, the doors, the smiters, he says, that is not going to stop me. Those that pluck off my beard, they are not going to stop me. They that spat in my face, they are not going to stop me. They that crown me with thorns are not going to stop me. They that sang the song of the trumpets are not going to stop me. They that nailed me to the cross, not going to stop me, for the joy that was set before me. Brethren, we are called to a path. And each one of us, as the Lord Jesus Christ, came to Gethsemane's garden, and he prayed, as it were, great drops of blood, as it sweat were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Isn't it true sometimes when the trials and testings of the path, or even our individual life, sometimes don't we cry that internally? "Oh God, move this problem for me, please. Remove this problem. It's too great." And the Lord Jesus says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And there it was, brethren. He resigned to God's will for the joy that was set before him. That's the path. The path that the Lord Jesus has trodden. And the path, listen, he was so obedient. Every step brought glory to God. And I would say this. If we are obedient to God, yes, the trials will come. The testings will come. But don't leave the path of faith. Don't leave. I say this. Nobody, I'm not going to let anyone run me from keeping my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Brethren, I'm going to turn your eyes now. I turned your eyes a bit upon Christ. I'm now going to turn your eyes upon a man who also ran. And let's go to 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Words of the Apostle Paul, verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He shall come out to rule and reign. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teaching having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Brethren, here is a man, the Apostle Paul, who said, as we heard yesterday, when he said it was a light, it was a great light. And then it became a light above the brightness of the moon, the sun. Christ filled the Apostle Paul's eyes. "Rise, my soul, behold it's Jesus. Jesus fills thy wandering eyes. See him again. In glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise." One of the writers says, "Glory, Lord, is thine forever. Ever thine, thou art the Son. Greater far, thy God and glory ever blessed, thou art the Son." Beloved, since if we just look at the hymns of men who have viewed and occupied and seen the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we don't need to look at us. Indeed, all, if you look at me, you will be very disappointed. But all, look at him, you will be delighted. And hear what he says. The Apostle Paul says, "I have ran. I have ran my race." And Timothy, now I'm passing on the baton to you. I'm passing on the baton. It's your leg to run. He says, "I fought the good fight." Why? The devil was trying to get me off the path. Read 2 second book of Corinthians in chapter 11, you'll see all that the Apostle Paul went through. Shipwrecked, beaten, scourged, peril of countrymen, hunger, thirst, nakedness. But he says, oh, the key of the church and the gospel of Christ. None of these things move me. And he said here to a lad who was scared, a lad who was ashamed, Timothy, he had gotten to a point where he was shaking, because here it is, the person, his father in the faith, was incarcerated. Incarcerated the word of God. You could have bound the preacher, but you cannot bound God's word. It is free, it is quick, it is powerful. God honors and magnifies his word above his name. And he says to Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of Christ, of the Lord. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Of the gospel of Christ. And he said of Epaphras, he was not ashamed of my chain. So Paul says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have finished my leg of the race. And now, Timothy, it's your turn. You have to run. And he said, I've kept the faith. Not faith, that faith, the revealed truth of God. Brethren, the path is clear. If I need to know what the path really is, the path is a person. I am the way. Amen. I am the truth. And I am the life. Brethren, let's run. Let's keep on the path. And I'm telling you this. There is a path that the vulture's eyes have not seen, nor the lion's mouth has trodden, nor the fierce lion pass by. There is a path that is going to lead to fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And Christ has trodden that path. Believe me, saints, young brothers and sisters, middle age, and the older saints, senior citizens, as we say today, believe me, from the day you are born to the day you die, Satan's job is to get you off the path of faith. And all I'm saying to you, in closing, there must be a life of prayer. There must be a life of reading God's word. A daily diet. I enjoy the food in England. Enjoying the food. But listen, there's no food like this. The word of the living God. That is what man shall live by. And when Jesus said that to the devil, he left him for a season. But he came back. But when he came back, he found him still on the path. And the cross was the greatest test for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the devil really said to him? You will still keep to this path. You will still hold on. And his answer was, when he was nailed there, I surrender all. And he held to that path. And then God answered. God highly exalted him. Oh yes, that's the joy. He was the man of sorrows. We sang it this morning. But now, he's the man of joy. For the joy that was set before, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated down at the majesty of high. Saints, let us hold the path. For his name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.